Welcome to the Banner of Truth broadcast. The following program of inspiration is brought to you by the Free Reformed Churches of North America. You can find one or more Free Reformed Churches in this station's listening area. And now, the Banner of Truth with Pastor Hans Overduun, the minister of the Calgary Free Reformed Church.
Dear friends, today's broadcast is based on the Bible reading of 2 Kings chapter 1. That chapter tells us one of the Bible's fearful, fiery stories, probably one of the stories not as well known as other fiery stories from the Bible. The theme for this message now is Lessons from a Fearful, Fiery Story. What is the Bible story, the historical event told in the first chapter of 2 Kings? It is in relation to King Ahaziah, who was son of King Ahab and Queen Jezebel. This son Ahaziah was unexpectedly put on the throne and made king of Israel when his dad Ahab was killed in the battlefield in a war against the Syrians. We read in 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 52, that this Ahaziah did evil in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the way of his father, and in the way of his mother. And in 2 Chronicles 20, verse 35, we are told about him that he lived very wickedly. Ahaziah was like Ahab Jr., and even worse, perhaps. He reigned only 2 years when coming to a, humanly speaking, premature death through an accident. Here is where our text story in 2 Kings chapter 1 comes in to tell us more. Verse 1 tells us when Ahaziah became king, while he had quite the military and political and economic problems facing him, his main problem came from a personal accident in the palace. This King Ahaziah fell from an upper level in the palace to a lower level, leaving him very badly injured, so much so that he himself wondered if he would survive the accident. He saw his life was being threatened. The 17th century Bible commentator Matthew Henry makes the wise comment in connection with this tragedy, quote, "Royal palaces do not always yield firm footing. The safest places on earth are not always that safe. No, never without God, that's for sure." And the very sad part of the story in this text chapter is that this King Ahaziah was a wicked man, and he sends messengers to a pagan Baal worship center in the Philistine town of Ekron to ask of the priests of the lifeless idol god Beelzebub whether he might recover or not. Here we have to realize a more direct insult to the one only true God over all is hardly to be imagined. This Ahaziah surely would have known better too, for his father and mother and all Israel had been shown in the event on Mount Carmel, as told in 1 Kings chapter 18, when Elijah confronted all the false Baal prophets. They were shown who is the one only true God over all, and Baal is an idol god, no god at all. Yet now we hear this Ahaziah, even in the face of possible death because of his accident, he appeals still to that idol, heathen, false god of Baal, and he sends messengers to a foreign land to the cult prophets and priests of this idol god in his time of need. At death's door, he was playing with dead-end options of the false religions of his day, rather than turning to the one true God for his mercy and help in his dire circumstances. With this King Ahaziah, we see fallen man, totally depraved, living in willful, defiant, ongoing rebellion and evil before God and his neighbor. In the scene then comes prophet Elijah, sent by God, with the Lord instructing him to intercept the delegation sent by the king to the Ekron Baal worship center and to give them a most solemn message from God to King Ahaziah. We read it in verse 3 and 4 of our text chapter. Is it not because there is not a God in Israel that you go to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord, thou shalt not come down from that bed on which you are gone up, but shall surely die. That's the message Elijah gave. Well, this in the name of God. Well, this delegation decided to stop then their trip to Ekron, for they knew Prophet Elijah spoke with divine authority, and they returned to Samaria again. When the surprised king asked the reason for their speedy return, and learned about this prophet of God who spoke to them, and finding out it was none other than Elijah the Tishbite, then what happens? Well, rather than listening to the message the true prophet gave to the delegation, King Ahaziah determines to capture this Elijah the Tishbite, and to kill him, and to shut him up once for all. King Ahaziah wouldn't tolerate a prophet who told him the truth and confronted him with his sin. So right away, then, the order goes out to a captain of the army to go with 50 soldiers to capture this prophet of the one true God, Elijah. They knew where he was, on top of a hill in the region nearby. Verse 9 tells us that this captain came there then with his 50 men and addressed Elijah sitting on top of the hill. Thou man of God, the king has said, come down. What is clear here is that this captain was saying in arrogance to Elijah, look, you need to respect the word of the king now. But we are told Elijah, as led by God, responds saying, if I be a man of God, then let fire come down from heaven and consume you and your 50 men. And the text tells us there came down fire from heaven and consumed that captain and his 50. King Ahaziah would not be moved by this, however. He sends a second captain with another 50 soldiers to capture Prophet Elijah, to shut him up forever. This captain, we are told in verse 11, is even more brazen and defiant than the first, saying to Elijah, O man of God, thus has the king said, come down quickly. This captain demands Elijah's compliance to the king of Israel, as if the king was greater than all, even God himself. Elijah once again responds, saying, verse 12, if I be a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume you and your 50 men. And the fire of God came down from heaven and consumed him and his 50. Well, now, with 102 lives scorched to death by the lightning bolts of fire from God from heaven, you would think King Ahaziah would break down and repent and come to his senses. But no. He commands yet a third captain with another 50 soldiers to go and capture this prophet Elijah. Can you imagine the king commanding this next captain, and that captain thinking perhaps, oh no, I can't do this task, I'm too afraid to go. But he has to go, and the 50 with him. It is the king's orders. You can't help but learn right away the different attitude and approach of this captain with his men before Elijah, however. Verse 13 tells us he came before Elijah falling on his knees, or bowing down in respect towards him, and not arrogantly and defiantly coming in pompous demands before the prophet of God. No, this third captain comes in all humility and pleading for mercy. The text says this captain besought Elijah, begged of him, in other words, and said, O man of God, I pray you, let my life and the life of these 50, thy servants, note, he says, thy servants be precious in your sight. Behold, there came fire down from heaven and burnt up the two captains of the former 50s with their 50s. Therefore, let my life now be precious in your sight. Here you see, dear friends, was a captain understanding the right response to the righteous wrath of God upon sin and evil. Here was a man who trembled before the Lord God of Israel and his prophet Elijah, and he lived, coming in all humility before Elijah now, in this way. Take note from the text, this captain and his 50 were not consumed by fire, but spared. So different from the former two captains being brazen and defiant and left as cinders and ashes. We are told in verse 15 how the angel of the Lord directs Elijah to go now with this third captain to the king and not to be afraid of him. Elijah goes with this captain and his 50, and he stands before King Ahaziah, the bedridden king, and he gives him the same message from God as before. Verse 16. You are going to die, Ahaziah, and not even so much because of your accidental fall in the palace, but because of you going to a heathen idol god for help instead of to the one true God. Notice that word, for as much, in verse 16, meaning because of this evil, King Ahaziah, for as much as you did this and so hardened yourself against the one true God, know for certain you will surely die. Verse 17 tells us that Ahaziah did die soon afterwards. Yes, quote, according to the word of the Lord which Elijah had spoken. So we read in 1 Kings 1, verse 17. This King Ahaziah's story is really sad and tragic, isn't it? He reigned as king barely 2 years, and what is worst of all, he lived and died in his sins, only to perish forever under God's just judgment. I wonder, did you know this fearful, fiery story of the Bible? How do you respond to it? How should we respond to it? Let us realize right away, dear friends, this chapter, 2 Kings 1 from the Bible, is not about King Ahaziah so much as about the one true God. The Bible reveals God the Lord, the one only true God, as one who will not tolerate idol gods, and the God who is the God who takes care of his people and who brings to shame those who will live in defiance of him and his word and will. How many sadly and most foolishly discount the God of 2 Kings chapter 1 as some outdated, even barbaric view of God. Others just conclude the whole Old Testament is legend and teaches nothing about the one true God, that our advanced and so-called evolving pluralistic world needs to take seriously. But the mark of being a true Christian and truly wise is that then you do take the Bible and its revelation most seriously. And you know that with your mind and heart, also this passage of Scripture has so much to teach us. Listen, you and I need to face the reality of God, not as we imagine him to be, but as he himself revealed himself to us in his word and in the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners. In promotion, then, of facing that one true God in spirit and truth, and you and I earnestly and wholeheartedly submitting to him and following after him in his word and will, let us consider 5 lessons at least to be learned from this Holy Spirit-inspired and infallible gospel words of 2 Kings chapter 1. 1. Notice with me from this passage how evil man is by nature. Indeed, in Ahaziah's life and conduct, we see a man born in sin, raised in sin, blinded in sin, hardened in sin, and rebellious in sin, and refusing to hear the word of the Lord, and unwilling to repent of his sins. We see a man bent on evil, and pursuing idol gods of heathen nations, and rejecting the one true God. We see Ahaziah also in the supreme need of his life, and at death's door, still defiant against the one only true and living God. It is sad to read about. It is so humbling and convicting even, don't you find? How wicked and evil we people can be. I say we people because is it any different today with mankind in general, including, yes, for you and me too, as we are of ourselves? How many people live just completely ignorant of God, not only, but willfully defiant against him and his word, never minding to open the Bible or read it, stubbornly resistant against anything about the Lord and his holy word and the only gospel of Jesus Christ. While other religions are tolerated, the one true religion based on the Holy Bible is spoken against and suppressed. Not even in the face of calamity and death and fires and catastrophes. Oh, no, no matter what, don't bring in God and one only way of salvation and the necessity to repent and believe and the matter of one way of escape just from the great and final apocalypse that's coming. People don't want to hear it. Oh, when the Bible says about man fallen in Adam become guilty and sinful and totally depraved and evil, it is so true. Ahaziah is not a monstrous exception to humanity, but a real reflection of humanity fallen and corrupted in sin willfully, horribly, and irreparably so, left to ourselves. We need to be saved from our sins and sinfulness. We need to be born again. Shall we be saved? Born again from God. How we all need to be convicted and convinced of this matter. True Christianity thrives and is most shining forth in grace and good and glory to God and our neighbor, where this deep and growing conviction of who we are by nature, wretched sinners and wicked evildoers and blind, stubbornly resistant fools. Is this something you have learned and keep learning about yourself by nature too? If the fearful, fiery story of 2 Kings chapter 1 doesn't drive home this lesson to us, what ever will? A second lesson that jumps out at us from this text chapter is how holy God truly is. How holy. And with this I mean, notice how intolerant God is towards the false idol gods that people were following, even his own covenant people. In the first holy commandment of the Ten Commandments, the Lord God says, "You shall have no other gods before me." You might think, well, God says that, but he doesn't mind really if you have other gods. He's soft on sin and disobedience to all his commandments. He's full of love and no worries. Ah, but see God in this chapter pursue Ahaziah steeped in his sin and make abundantly clear to him living in sin and an open mockery of the one true God means coming under that God's holy wrath and righteous judgment. As Ahaziah defiantly rejected the one true God and the only way of deliverance from sin, Satan, death, and hell through God's gospel promises and provision, oh, most sadly we see this Ahaziah in this chapter then left without the mercy of God and being brought to a premature death, humanly speaking, and finally to the doom of eternal punishment. 3 times in the chapter, Ahaziah gets told he would surely die for his sins. Verse 4, verse 7, verse 16, and then in verse 17 we read, "So he died according to the word of the Lord." People mock and scoff today at God's holiness, not believing he will do as he says, and how that it will go well for believers, but ill for the wicked and unbelieving, as the Bible teaches. People say, "Oh, that's not true." But shouldn't this chapter wake us up to the reality God is holy, infinitely holy, and he's a hater of all idolatry and evil in any respect, and every respect? Oh, there's every reason for all people, especially also confessing Christians and covenant people of God, to take the Lord most seriously in his holiness. For as stated also in Hebrews 12, verse 29, a New Testament book, I remind you, our God is a consuming fire, yes, against all sin and evil. That's the truth. The Bible forewarns that, especially in the last days, people simply won't take God seriously. But never mind, shouldn't just now the 103 dead struck down by God for their wicked rebellion against him, as told in 2 Kings chapter 1, bring you and me to our senses? Shouldn't we wake up before the holiness of God and tremble before him? It is so striking, really, about our text chapter that all it tells us and all the Bible relates of this King Ahaziah is just how he died in his sins because he rejected God the Savior. God forbid that such be finally and eternally said of you and me, that we died in our sins just. Oh, will you learn this lesson from the fearful, fiery story of 2 Kings chapter 1, how holy God truly is? We come to a third lesson from 2 Kings chapter 1, very important, and that is how gracious God really is too. Gracious, you ask? Yes. Notice how this comes out in at least 3 ways. Notice, for one, how God was actually giving King Ahaziah space to repent when he intercepted that delegation sent by the king to the Baal cult center in Ekron. Wasn't this interruption with this word from Elijah for the king as a word from God to him? King Ahaziah, wake up to your evil. I'm not going to let you die in your sins without showing you one more time. Why do you so hasten to your death, forever rejecting me and turning to idols instead? Wasn't the Lord here, in fact, putting roadblocks, as it were, in this sinner's pathway to stop him in his downward spiral down to hell? As one commentator put it, the Lord wouldn't let Ahaziah then, nor us today, to walk in the pathway of idolatry easily, and God most graciously confronted him still. The events of 2 Kings chapter 1 shows God, in his fury, still be gracious and give time to repent. But Ahaziah would not repent. How many roadblocks to the path of sin doesn't God also send your and my way? Will you listen to his gracious calls and pay attention to his earnest appeals to us, even when speaking in holy judgment against us for our sins and sinful ways? The Lord delights in mercy, and judgment is his strange work, the Bible says in Micah 7 verse 18 and Isaiah 28 verse 21. What is happening in our world with all the calamities and unrest and evil in these perilous times in our ungodly, wicked culture? Should we not see it as divine, gracious wake-up calls to us and for us, or not? Wake-up calls to seek the Lord while he may be found, and to turn from sin, to call upon him while he is near, to repent and believe the only gospel of Jesus Christ. What is your response to all the divine wake-up calls come your way, even now again, with this Christian radio message? Don't we see how gracious God really is too in his sparing the third captain and those 50 soldiers with him, simply in their appealing to Elijah for sparing mercy? With this third captain, we learn again, don't we, how God hears us when we cry out to him in our needs, in our sins, in our weaknesses, in our hopelessness of ourselves. We read the testimony of David in Psalm 34, verse 6 and 7, saying, "This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him." We don't know if that third captain and those 50 men with him would have testified this way too, but the text strongly implies that could very well and likely have been the case. And then, where we most clearly see how gracious God is really in this text chapter is with what we read in verse 15, where we are told the angel of the Lord said to Elijah, "Go down with this captain and his men to the king." When you check all the references of the angel of the Lord as mentioned in the Old Testament, it refers not just to another angel from heaven, but actually to the pre-incarnate Christ. The word angel means literally messenger, and Jesus Christ is the heavenly messenger here in the text before his coming to this world as the Christ child born in Bethlehem. And think how meaningful this truly is then. Christ, we know, is that promised Savior who would bear the sins of his people and suffer the righteous judgment of God for all those sins, even to the last drop. Jesus was to come to this earth to suffer and to endure the fires of hell, so to speak, all on sinners' behalf, that all who trust him can escape that fearful, terrible, fiery judgment now and forevermore. Oh, the only way this whole world and every human being in it, in all of history, can escape the righteous judgment of God for sin is in and through Christ the Savior. Jesus, called also the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. In Luke 9, verse 54, the story of 2 Kings is referred to by the disciples John and James, who wrongly wanted to send fire in impatient revenge on the Samaritans, who weren't welcoming to Jesus. Not only did those two disciples misunderstand Elijah in our text passage, but they didn't understand Jesus either, who had his face steadfastly set toward Jerusalem, for there Jesus on the cross of Calvary would lay down his life, his own life, as a ransom for many. Jesus came to pay the righteous punishment for sin, even to the equivalent of all hell, that all who repent and trust in him might be saved from their sins and receive the gracious, sure gift of everlasting life in heaven one day. This Old Testament passage then too calls you and me to look to Jesus Christ, the one and only Savior of sinners, to trust and follow him. Is your trust and devotion in him, dear friend, Jesus Christ, the crucified and risen Savior of sinners. Isn't that the gracious call of the gospel to all of us now, too, also from this passage? Then there is this fourth lesson to learn from this fearful, fiery chapter, and that is how good God surely is to, how good. And here think of God being so very good, yes, to his servant and faithful prophet Elijah. We must not miss in this chapter how the Lord was taking care of Elijah and protecting him from the harm and hurt that Ahaziah intended against him. It is true, God in his care and keeping of his people doesn't always protect us from being imprisoned and even from being killed for the faith. But we may know his eye is always on his people, and he watches over his own and takes care of them in his sovereign good pleasure and in his almighty care and providence. Whatever happens, should we not marvel much more than we do with God's care and keeping of us in our lives? Wasn't God good to those 50 men having the humble captain they had too? Not like those first two captains. Do you praise God for his undeserved goodness and mercy also in your life, and for the reflection of his goodness even in this fearful, fiery chapter before us in this radio message? The fifth and last lesson to glean from this chapter is how relevant God's word is always. Don't you agree how we have to say that also with studying 2 Kings chapter 1? How relevant, how much we have to learn from this portion of God's word. Yes, also in view of the catastrophes and tragedies and calamities as we hear about so much in our times, in places all over the world. Elijah was the man of God who came with the word of God, and the whole chapter underlines, if we are wise, we listen to the word of God and wholly submit ourselves to all its Holy Spirit-inspired teaching and counsel and direction and command and exhortation and gospel. In conclusion, then, I ask you, each one, do you take to heart the Holy Bible and its gospel lessons? Yes, also from this fearful, fiery story of 2 Kings chapter 1? The chapter clearly and lovingly shows we can't afford not to. Even so, may God triune by his Holy Spirit bless this message to each one of us and from us to many more while it is yet the time of grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Dear friends, this radio broadcast is not meant as a substitute for worshiping in a faithful Bible-believing church. If you are not currently worshiping in such a church, you are most welcome to come to our services. To learn about the Free Reformed churches in your area, check our website at www.frcna.org. Again, www.frcna.org. If you have been blessed by this message, or you would like a free copy of today's broadcast, you can write to The Banner of Truth, 680 Brook Park Drive, Southwest, Calgary, Alberta, T2W2R1. That's The Banner of Truth, 680 Brook Park Drive, Southwest, Calgary, Alberta, T2W2R1. We are always glad to hear from our listeners. And now, until next week, the Lord be with you all.
For more information about the Banner of Truth and the Free Reformed Churches of North America, visit our website at www.frcna.org. These radio messages are also being posted on the internet and can be downloaded for free. Visit www.sermonaudio.com and search on the Banner of Truth. Please join us again next week for the Banner of Truth broadcast.